There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi all, it's TV's Gail Porter here. I am so excited to tell you that I am joining the Paranormal Activity family and will be hosting a number of live podcast recordings across the UK. The first is on the 6th of March at London's haunted Richmond Theatre. Expect terrifying tales, audience interaction, and hopefully a spirit or two. I can't wait for you to join me and to hear your own paranormal experiences. You can find tickets at www.paranormalpod.co.uk.
Hello and welcome back to Loose Lips. This is me, Sophie Brown.
This is me. That's that song from Grace Shawman.
I watched a video on that the other day. It came up on TikTok and oh my gosh, I was like, I had tears in my eyes when they did it right at the beginning and they performed it for everyone, I think to try and get it, you know, like approved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've only watched that film once. Some people are like obsessed with it, aren't they?
Oh, it's a stunning film. It's so, so nice. And I love that track as well. It just makes you feel like, you know, I can do this. I can actually do it. I mean, I'm very dramatic like that. Anyway, I'm Robin Richford and welcome to Loose Lips. Each week we tackle a new topic that you're kind of maybe chatting about when you're out and about with your friends on a night out over a glass of wine. It's kind of like muddling through the late 20s, early 30s transition that so many of us are in at the minute. So that is exactly what Loose Lips is all about.
We don't always practice what we preach, but we try our best. I mean, today I'm just living off this coffee and pure vibes. I haven't had anything to eat yet because I've not had time. I've had about 4 pombers.
Do you know, that reminds me of that meme. Have you seen it where it's like, I'm living off of 4 hours sleep, 10 coffees and a fucking dream, baby.
That's me right now. No, I mean, this is all right. It's the weirdest thing. I think when I'm like working from like early in the morning until or when I used to be in the office, I just feel like you're hungry all the time because you just, you know, stagnant and you sat there and you're thinking about it. But if I get up and get out, I cannot eat for, and it's not the whole forgetting to eat thing because I never forget to eat. But it's more just like, I think because you're moving your body and you're whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a priority when you're trying to get stuff done, does it?
No, but no. Oh, well.
It should be though, like feeling your body like should be. I've been so rubbish this week, so honestly, should we debrief? We need to debrief. I think what it is I don't really, well, actually, I don't know what it is. That's why I want to ask you. I have just felt as if I've just got no energy. After work, I'm going home, which might sound normal, but like technically my radio work finishes at 1. So it's like, it's only lunchtime. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm having no energy, but I've not really got like a get up and go, and it's really bothering me.
Yeah, but January is like, we all put that pressure on ourselves to be like, woo. This morning, I set an alarm for 7 a.m. to play paddle. I had paddle coaching at 8 a.m.
We're in this paddle.
No, guys,
it is so funny.
I was excited like the night before Christmas. I'm not joking. I was like, I've got paddle in the morning. I'm very excited about it and I'm glad that I'm excited about a sport. But woke up, snow all over the ground. I was like, right, well, we're not playing paddle. I could see the paddle courts from my flat. Mancunian weather, so you have to sort of chance it. But it was cancelled. So I went back to sleep and I set an alarm and then I turned the alarm off and I woke up at 10:30 and I had a meeting at 11:30 in town. And I was just like, that's really annoying because I was up at 7.
No, I know what you mean. You're like, I actually don't deserve it. I don't deserve to have to chase my tail today.
Yeah, but why did I not get up then? And then I fell back to sleep and then turned the alarm off and fell back to sleep again. I just struggle with my sleep though, because it takes me a long time to get to sleep. I so struggle with getting up.
Do you reckon you're actually sleep deprived? Like you're actually in a deficit?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure there's many a thing that I could do to help myself, but it's always been a struggle in my life, like sleeping.
I think I'm fine. It's like, I don't know what it is. I procrastinate. It's like, I don't want to go to sleep. And then I like proper dived into it. You know, when you're like, you know, you're like, that's it. I'm researching it. There's something fucking wrong with me. And I don't know what it is. And I looked into it and apparently it's like when you don't feel satisfied with what you've done in the day. So you don't want to go to sleep because then the day's over and you don't feel it's almost like you're punishing yourself because you don't feel like you deserve to sleep. And that's actually quite dark when you actually deep it.
Oh my God. Well, I would agree with that. I wouldn't say for me it's punishment. I'd just say it's more longing out the day. Like I'm a bit of a night owl and I just sort of, if I've been working all day or whatever, I'm like, I want a bit of time to myself.
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
I don't know. I feel like I've got not so much to say, but on this intro, I'm like, I came off my pill in the last week.
Oh, how are you feeling? I mean, doesn't it take months to come out your system?
Yeah, but we're going with the placebo effects and I'm feeling...
Love it.
I'm feeling good. No, I don't know. I don't feel different, but maybe it is a bit placebo at the moment, but I'm pleased that I came off it. I've got a book to read. Where's it gone? The thingy about the pill. Loads of people told me to get it. The Truth About the Pill or something. So I might give that a read.
I've been off it for 5 years. It's the best thing I ever did.
Yeah, I had so many responses like that. I had a few that were like, you know, it took a really long time. You know, I then got acne and really bad pain. And then some people had some real issues. But 97% of the messages I got were like, oh my gosh, come off it.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah. The irony is, so I actually went on the pill when I was like almost too young, essentially. Like I didn't actually need it for contraceptive reasons. It was more because of my acne was so bad, and so they put me on the pill to fix my acne. And the irony is, you're right, I had a transition probably of like a year of like my skin coming off, honestly, like my skin getting worse. But since coming off, honestly, my skin has never been cleaner. Honestly, it hasn't. I mean, it's still like, I've still got to really balance my skin because I suffered so bad with it. And I do think cutting out dairy as well is a massive thing. Cutting out meat really helped my skin as well.
Yeah.
Which I didn't actually realize. I just happened to do it because I was kind of feeling like doing it. And then I was kind of reading into it. And apparently it's like the hormones that the meat has now that like years ago they didn't have. And that's what can affect your skin and things like that. But yeah, I think there might be a bit of a hormone imbalance going on at the minute, because I honestly feel so tired and I'm like, it's not justified. Like I am actually doing nothing. Like, what's wrong with me?
I get that though. Like, I feel very similar and it's, you can't really pinpoint it. And I think it might just be, you know, this time of the year, like you've had a really short break. It's not really been that long. And then you're like straight back into it. It's, I don't know. It is, it's a weird time of year, but it could be something else. Could be a bit of a hormone imbalance, or it could just be, I don't know, your body's just like struggling a bit at the moment.
Yeah, maybe. Sprout. Or it's just laziness. Yeah. There is that. It could just be laziness.
I mean, it could be. But I would say I feel very similar. I struggle massively with that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I am just lazy. I did think that the other day. I thought I could be just lazy. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, like, I don't know if maybe by default I'm a lazy person. And like, because of the commitments I make within my work and stuff, it means that I'm not then lazy. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I agree. I think I'm the laziest, like, motivated person, because I will sit on my ass for ages and my procrastination is bad, really bad.
So bad, but honestly.
If I told you all the stuff I had going on and like all the different things I've got to think about and do, it's like, go, go, go. But I'm like, well, I do find the time to then sit and watch a program for ages or whatever. But it's because my schedule, similar to yours, is very all over the place. But I don't know. I think I am probably innately pretty lazy.
Like, I have no problem sitting there for 5 hours watching telly. It really doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. On that note, should we talk about work?
Yeah, I was going to say, on that self-motivation procrastination note, We've touched on this briefly before, but it is quite an interesting one. The kind of freelance versus employed life, everything that goes with it. I just got back from my first meeting with an accountant. I'll have you know.
How did that go?
Interesting. Good old, I was going to say his name, I won't actually, but nice guy, older guy. He was nice. I've spoken to a couple and it's difficult because you never know. Like, I wanted a really good recommendation. I didn't want to just, you know, find someone. Obviously, it's kind of the best way to, because you know that they're good then. But this guy works in the same industry and whatever. And he was just nice and he helped me out. But yeah, it was, do you know, it was actually quite exciting. By the end, I was like, wait a minute, I'm like self-employed now. This is my life. I was like, I used to be employed for years and years and years. And like now, I don't know, it's on me. Like I feel quite liberated by it. And I don't know, it was kind of like, I think because he was saying it and all of that, it just kind of
solidified it. Yeah. It's like, I'm actually doing this now. It's up to you to make your dollar, Soph. It's not going to make itself.
I know. It's scary business. Also, I've not been logging my expenses for like the past 4 months. So that's my task that I need to now go through, back through my bank accounts. And
Not bad. Listen, babes, I've been there. I've sat there with a year's worth of receipts on the 30th of January.
Yes, I could. Yes, here's an example of,
Here's an example of what not to do, Robin Richards.
The thing is, right, it's funny because I think my personality and the way it works is all over the place. I did some training yesterday and it was really interesting. And there was a very small exercise at the beginning, which kind of like worked out your way of thinking. Like it's like flash thinking or something. So it's like when you see something quickly, and I'm detail driven. Like there was like abstract detail and something else, literal, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was interesting. It's literally just this thing that pops up and it's got three shapes. There's a star, like a square and a circle, but the star's got six sides and the points and the square's got a square cut out of it and they're all different colours. So people say different things. So I went, there was a red star with six points. There was a blue square with another square cut out of it and a circle that was whatever colour, whatever.
Right.
Some people just go, you know, star, square, circle, or they say blue, red, whatever. And then the abstract thinkers, which I'm not really sure about this, but they talk about the triangle that links them. That's not there, basically.
No way.
It's interesting. Obviously, it was really interesting because I thought, you know, people think so differently and you forget that in life. Like, yeah. I always struggle with the thing of, I think people are going to think the same as me and I can get a little bit frustrated, whereas I'm me and that's how I think. And my capabilities are my own capabilities. And I have strengths in some things, weaknesses in other, but I cannot then expect someone to think and do exactly the same as me. And I actually struggle with that quite a lot in work.
Yeah, well, it's hard, isn't it? Because you're like, well, it's hard in relationships as well, not even romantic relationships, but friendships. You're like, I'd never do that. Why are they doing that?
Yeah.
But then I'm sure there's things that you do that like they would never do. So it's quite hard, I think. I wonder what I am. I'm rubbish at, you know, that program. Have you seen, is it the 1% Club? Where they basically ask all the questions.
Right. I am not good at general knowledge generally, but I'm quite good at that 1% thing. My mum and I were watching it and I did really well on it.
Right. So I think that means that you're quite a logical thinker.
Yes.
I believe. Because it's not actually knowledge, is it? It's actually like figuring out what, like looking for patterns in the words and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm rubbish at that. Like I'm so bad, honestly. I always get to like, I get chucked out at 70% most of the time. yeah, I'm really bad. But my partner's really good at it. And like, I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying, interestingly enough, like I'm more academic than him.
Yeah.
But I think he's just such a logical thinker that he can't always get down to like the 1%. And I've already been chucked out many a time.
This is why it's so different though. This is why it was interesting kind of learning about those different learning styles yesterday. And they've got that thing where maybe we'll do it on an episode, but we might have spoken it before, which is like your personality types and all of that. It's really interesting. Everybody's so different. And like in a workplace, I think it's different as well, because I have been used to, you know, 9 years of working in, you know, offices with teams, with different types of people, personalities. And now, you know, I do that a couple of days a week, but mostly I just work with myself.
Yeah, it's so true. You're actually not really in a team, are you?
No, and it's like, I don't really have to think about other people's learning styles or thinking styles as much, because
I'm doing my own work. A lot of the work is, is just me. But then again, like the couple of days a week I'm involved with the wider team, but it's not the same as it used to be. Like, I think that working in an office and stuff is, it can be really tricky, like the all the different personalities and stuff and the office politics and things. Like, I don't miss that. I miss the office life though. Like, I do. I loved office culture.
The actual, like, social life of it.
Just day to day, though, turning up. Like I've said about routine and things. Like, I do struggle, you know, whether that's part of my ADHD or whatever. But, like, this whole routine and things, it's difficult for me to do that really self-motivated. Like, it's really difficult. But at least before, I'd get fired if I didn't turn up. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
Yes. Yeah.
I can't fire myself.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, you could, but you wouldn't eat.
Yeah.
Like... Who's earning the money? Yeah, no, it is an interesting thing actually about the self-employed thing, because I think it can actually be quite lonely. And I think that's something that, like, when people are looking at the kind of pros and cons of the freelance life, full-time working or being employed, I think people don't always really look at that. They look at, like, oh, you know, flexible working and I'll be able to do X, Y, and Z and I'm not on anyone's timescale, like you say. In terms of personality and stuff, you don't have to juggle if you've got a crap boss and all of that. But actually, it's quite lonely.
Yeah.
I've been self-employed my entire life, which is actually, wow. Wow, I've just deeped that. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
I've also just lied, actually. I did try a full-time... I did try a full-time job for like 3 months. I did my probation and left.
I mean, it's more than a week like that. You got a little bit of experience, I guess, enough to say, nah, thanks, I'm fucking off.
Well, yeah, that was it. I think it was like, so basically I was a dancer, you know, so obviously you're self-employed from the get-go. I was like, I'm leaving the industry. I'd gone through like a bad breakup and I kind of like blamed my lifestyle, which is really interesting, actually. I kind of blamed my lifestyle on the breakup because I'd gone away for a contract and then we split up. I was like, well, you know, it's because of this life I'm living and all of that, which is really mental to think that. But, you know, you just end those headspaces. And I got offered a job. It was one of my friends, like big sister. They had, like, they were part of this big dessert company. And I was like the events coordinator because my side gigs when I was a dancer were always an event. So I actually had loads of experience. So I'd kind of like gone in as an events coordinator. And I think it got sent through 3 months and like, right, Robin, are you going to sign this full-time contract? Then I think I'd kind of like put it off for a few weeks, whatever. And I was like, well, I was like, well, I'll be honest, I'm going to need another 10 grand or else this is, you know, just absolutely not worth it to me. And they were like, we can give you 4. And I was like, okay, bye.
Yeah, see you later. Yeah.
But actually, you know what? It's the best thing they ever did for me, to be honest. Because in my head, I was like, I fell into the trap of thinking if I got more money, then I'd feel better about it. And I think that's sometimes a trap. Sometimes your job satisfaction actually, I mean, it's great if you get more money and you feel more valued and things like that. But I do also think that there is, you still got to do the job every day, right? And so it's kind of like, not that I hated the job, I actually liked the job, but the lifestyle around it, the thought that I was basically getting up, it was an hour's commute, I was getting up at like 7 o'clock, but I was having to be out the house by like 7:20 and I'm sitting in an hour's traffic. So I'm doing absolutely nothing before work. And then I'm supposed to finish at 6. I'm doing 9 till 6. And then I'm not getting a lunch break because, you know, it's a startup and we're like too busy and whatnot. And then I get to 6 and I'm like, oh, well, there's no point in me sitting in an hour's traffic home. Let me just work till 7. And then my commute's only 20 minutes. And then before you know it, you're out the house for, you know, 13, 14 hours a day. And, you know, it's just, yeah. I was just like, actually, no. Like the actual job itself, I actually liked and the people were fantastic. But the lifestyle around it, I was like, this is actually so difficult. And I know there'll be people listening that are like, Robin, you've literally just explained my day to me. I think I take my hat off to you because it's not an easy feat at all.
No.
To kind of be in that rat race in that way. And I think you can maybe do it for a few years. Like, I think, you know, if you really love your job or the finance is so good, like you're getting so much money, then you can suck it up. But if you're kind of getting that average salary, it's hard. It's really hard.
Welcome to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast,
where we answer the questions you want to hear about parenthood
and provide you with real, honest advice for every stage of your parenting journey.
Whether you're a parent to be, a new mum like me, navigating those sleepless nights,
or a more experienced parent facing the challenges of raising older kids like me.
We've got you covered with relatable stories, expert insights, and plenty of laughs along the way.
So grab your headphones, a cup of coffee, or maybe something stronger.
And let's get real about parenting.
We're not going to be sugarcoating anything. From punamis to piles, nothing is off limits at Mum's the Word.
It's a podcast for all the parents out there, our own little club.
Mum's the Word.
Listen wherever you get your podcast from.
And hit follow so you don't miss an episode.
Yeah, I got to the point, you know, before the show, I was in a really great role. I was a head of department in a big company and I was getting a, you know, a sizable wage that I'd worked really flipping hard to get. You know, I was getting bonuses with that and stuff. And that kind of like balanced out, you know, the workload mm-hmm. and what I had to do and kind of like the responsibilities. I mean, even so, you always think, well, really, I could be getting paid more, and you don't know what your counterparts, you know, are getting paid and, you know, different genders and stuff. But I was happy overall. But it's difficult. It's a massive mm-hmm. way up. And I think you have to do that quite a few times in your career. But it's getting more and more difficult now, because I speak to women about like salary negotiation and things like that. And, you know, it's a real struggle, because it's like you can't be as picky as you used to be, because there's these roles, you know, that are coming up on LinkedIn and I'll click on them and it'd be like 150 applicants and stuff. I mean, it's brutal out there and it's difficult, and people can't just, you know, leave a job and get more money. I mean, I would say, just from a salary perspective, you know, everyone's aware of this, but unfortunately, you know, you're most likely to get a much bigger jump up in salary if you do leave and go somewhere else. And I think the stat for say, because you mentioned about the money thing, like, I think it's over 90%, at least 90% of people leave within 6 months that stay just for a pay rise. So if they hand in their notice and they go, right, okay, here's another $5,000, 90% of those people will leave within, you know, 6 months at that point, which is quite obvious, kind of, because you're not staying for the role, you're just staying for the money.
Yeah.
It's a massive way up. Like, as what I say to people, like when they're trying to negotiate a salary or a new job, do not underestimate the importance of this. Like you said about the work-life balance, like, this is your life. You only get one.
I know.
You know, if it's not quite enough money, ask for more money. What are they going to do? Say no. If you really want that job and you think you're going to learn, what do they say? There's a really good thing, and it's like, if you're not learning or earning, then you need to leave. That's it.
Yeah, that's a really good one, actually, because there isn't always, you know, the finance, but actually there's something else. Like, I know certainly freelance, I've done jobs that financially should have been way more money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've done it because I know that I'm going to learn something, or it's going to give me, you know, I don't know, it looks better on the CV, or it's given me leverage, or it's given me something other than just finance. So I think, yeah, I mean, not everyone just does their job for finance, right? Or else we'd all be bankers. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, if we had, you know, because at whatever level in terms of your skill and knowledge and things like that. But I think it's an interesting one, actually, about the kind of trying to get the balance. I also do think, though, I feel quite passionately about this, probably because apart from those 3 months, I have always been self-employed. So I've been self-employed for, let me do the math, 8 years. 8 years then? My whole working life, pretty much, apart from part-time jobs, obviously. But I just think that there's this thing at the minute on TikTok, Instagram, where it's really, really glamorized.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you're not getting the money that you need, you need to leave and start your own thing. You're a girl boss, you're this, you're that. All those things might be true. And if those things really, really resonate with you, like to your core, then absolutely go for it. But I do think the vast majority of people are in this kind of like middle bit where they're going, yeah, very good, but like, how am I putting food on the table? And also, there is, unfortunately, a percentage of people that will quit their jobs and go, I'm going to go freelance. And then they'll get there and be like, this shit is hard. And it is hard. Like, there's nothing like, you know, been like, oh, I have no money coming in this month. Like, I actually no money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
there
could be months where you're having zero coming in. And it could be that you're still working and, you know, you're whatever it is that you do for a living is still successful. But it could just be that it's a 12-week, you know, pay on their system. It could be 8 weeks. It could be whatever it might be. You might still be working. And that means you've got all the outgoings of having to work, but you might not be getting paid like for months on end. And I think it's really glamorized now where it's like, you know, you can make 10 grand in a week with affiliate marketing. And like, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure you can, if you know, you know, if there's the know-how, But I do think that, I don't know, I do think it's glamorized a little bit and it's very like aesthetically pleasing. And I'm like, I don't know anyone that runs a business and it looks like that. Like that cream desk, you know, like the cream desk that's like got one singular glass, you know, with a little cork at the top and a little glass straw. I'm like, yeah, babes, that's, I don't know one person that runs a business and it looks like that all the time. Like, I really don't.
I know, like, I won't turn my laptop around, but I'm literally looking at the shit on my table that I need to sort out. Like, it's interesting because, like, I think that a lot of people, like, I have always thought, and I feel like there'd be people listening that might sort of resonate with this, but I don't have a skill really that's massively sellable. Mm-hmm. I'm not a graphic designer, I'm not an artist, I'm not, you know, I can't code, I don't have a specific skill that I can badge up and start my own business with.
Yeah, nothing tangible in that sense.
Yeah, it's always been, you know, I back myself, like I have talents in other areas, but I'm kind of a good across the board person, and that's difficult to market. Like, I've always, you know, when I was younger, I was like, I want to work for myself, I want to have my own business. I was like, but in what? Like, I don't really know, you know, what I'm going to do. And things have presented themselves, which have allowed me, to be fair though, I'd say to anyone listening that feels like that, this has happened to me over time. Now, okay, yeah, I went on a television show and I have, you know, followers on Instagram where I make money off, but that's only a part of it. Like, that's different. Like, I now do business consultancy where I have opportunities because I've worked 8 years in the tech industry across different, you know, roles. So if you're feeling like really lost with it, I've always just pushed myself to kind of try and get into the best position and role that I can. Like, every role has kind of like taught me things. And now I'm in a position where I can do different things. Like, that will look different to everyone. Like, I do a bit of business consultancy, a bit of social media. We do the podcast. I do a bit of presenting.
There's not like a kind of like, I do X. I always think it's hard. See, if you'll find it if you know, if you're in a more like typical role, so to speak, in inverted commas, you'll be able to say to someone, you know, I am said coordinator, you know, and that's your job title. But it can sometimes be hard if you don't feel like you identify with anything. So it's like, say your skill is that you're brilliant with people, like you're just really good with people, you're good at managing people, you're good at listening, you're good at, those are such valuable skills. Yeah, but I know what you mean, it's not tangible. You can't go to someone and go, hey, hire me on a freelance basis, I'm a great listener.
Yeah,
you know, like it's just not, but I guess it's trying to like package it, isn't it? And what it is that you want to, I guess, be. I also think as well, it kind of goes down to we actually did a personal branding episode if you want to go back and have a little listen to that. Because that comes into this massively, I think, if you are thinking about going freelance.
Yeah.
Kind of trying to figure out, like, when people look at you, what do they see? And what do you want to kind of portray? And how do you want to show up in the world? It is amazing. I always say this to my little sister, because my little sister's only 13. I'm like, it's amazing that you live in a world that you can be absolutely anything, but it's also a curse that you live in a world that you can be absolutely anything.
Yeah.
Because there's no boundaries, and then by there not having boundaries, it's so hard sometimes to just pick a lane.
Yeah.
And be in said lane.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really difficult. But if you are doing something in your workplace, so for instance, like a really easy one to kind of quantify in my head is, say you're working for a company and you are a video editor, and it's like, well, could you start building clients outside of your actual workspace on a Saturday and on a Sunday and doing some video editing for companies on the side? And then when you start building them up enough, can you go down to part-time and then you can go freelance? I always think there's loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of steps before that day. And then you get other people that just jump, right? And they're just like, let me go. And if you are one of them, I would say top tips that I think that I wish I knew before I just jumped. I would say I would have enough money that you can cover all your expenses for, I would say, 3 months.
I was going to say 3, yeah.
I'd say ideally a year, obviously. Ideally bloody 10 years if you have it.
Yeah.
But I think more realistic, I think 3 months would be...
Yeah.
Is enough time, I think, for you to start something and start to come to fruition in even the smallest ways so that you can earn money off it in 3 months, I think. Anything shorter than that, I think, unless you have existing clients, you have an in already, somewhere you know you're going, I think that you're just setting yourself up for a lot of unnecessary stress.
So.
I'd also say a good place to kind of start is before you take that jump, like really solidify what it is you do, how you do it, and who your target is going to be when you're kind of like going out there. Because I think just having a plan will really take away that first day stress. Kind of like waking up and going, I have nowhere to be today and there's no one expecting me to be anywhere and I need to make money. You know, it's like, it is different. And I know everyone's circumstances are different, aren't they? And some people might not need the money in the same way that others need the money and things like that. But as a general rule, I think the large majority of the population, if they are going to go freelance, they need to make money off it. Otherwise, they would just be chilling at home.
Yeah. I think you're spot on with that. I think the money is really important. I think that is a thing. It's like, save up 3 months of your current salary. But I mean, if you can do more, then great. Because I think it is enough stress, like going freelance or quitting your job and things as it is, let alone them being like, I'm going to run out of money in 4 weeks. You know, if you can have that buffer, then do it. But I also think that like this whole, like I said, there's so many elements of like my working life that I do miss. And like, I think that, like you said, we're being conditioned at the moment that we should be working for ourselves and be our own boss and all of this. You can earn really good money working for someone else. You can have a really, you know, comfortable lifestyle where you feel that your work-life balance is working really well because you're not the one that's necessarily, you know, up there in charge with those added pressures. And you have, you know, potentially a really great social life because you've got friends there. You know what you're doing. You feel, comfortable and secure. You know, if anything happens to that company, obviously on occasions, there might be awful times where most of the time, you know, you're covered for all of this. It's not like they're just not going to pay you on that month. Like, I liked that comfortability of knowing that, I got my paycheck on X day and I knew how much it was going to be and all of that. But I think that you're right. It's so glamorized now. And I feel like, there's massive positives of being freelance, working for yourself and, you know, starting your own business. But do not be hard on yourself in any way. Like, there's so many elements that, like, I even think about it now. I'm like, part of me is like, do I go get a job again, you know, in a full-time occupation for a business, you know, one that I'm really interested in and passionate about. But I think we're so conditioned. Social media is really hard. And I just think that you can earn really great money, you know, even if it's not about the money, you can have a really great job that you enjoy. That's incredible in itself anyway, you know, like, good for you. Like,
There's also something I think that, like, that we kind of miss sometimes when we're kind of talking about the freelance and the full time. Because like you say, Soph, you can absolutely love it. And also there's this real, like, tendency to compare where you currently are in your workspace and the role that you're in and the money that you're getting with like the freelance equivalent and going, oh, wait a minute, say, just for talking's sake, £1,000 a week, right? And you're like, well, wait a minute, if I do freelance work, I can get £1,000 a project, which will only take me 2 days. But then what you're kind of like also kind of forgetting is, well, what happens is when you progress in that company and suddenly you're not on £1,000 a week, you're on £5,000. You know, like in terms of progression, sometimes there's not the progression in freelance. You know, sometimes there is a ceiling. Like sometimes, you know, you will only get paid. A great example is PTs, for instance. If you're a PT, unless you're going to PT Kim Kardashian, there will be a slight ceiling, right? So no matter how many years you've done it for, the average consumer is only ever going to pay, say, I don't know, on a really good market in London, £80 an hour for a PT, right? So it's like, you're not going to get that anywhere else. You know, you'd pay, I don't know, £40 elsewhere in the UK, right? But there's like a ceiling. And sometimes like we forget that. We go, oh, but I could do, you know, X amount of X amount. And you're like, yeah, I know, but actually there is only going to be a certain amount. On average, you're going to be able to have 10 clients a week, say, at £80 or whatever it might be. You know what I mean? Like there will be a ceiling of, and the more you go up in price, the less clients there will be just naturally, because who has that disposable income? So it's kind of thinking about that. Whereas perhaps if you worked your way up and say the fitness industry, and maybe you were moving from, you know, being a PT into the management side of a gym, and then you worked your way up there, there might actually be way more room for growth than kind of like where you're at. And I think that's something to bear in mind.
With potentially, less hours and, you know, less responsibility and more work-life balance. Because, you know, like PTs that are freelance, they're not only doing, you know, the how many hours in a day, which is capped, you know, like you said, it's capped at price, yeah. And it's capped at both time. You know, we don't have unlimited hours of the day. They're also sat on their laptops or meeting with these people or designing, mm-hmm. you know, nutritional plans or checking in online with them. You know, if you're working in a full-time, you know, employment, yeah, you might be doing 9:30 every day. Goodbye, shut yeah. your laptop. That's me done. And you can, you know, potentially move your way up into a management position. I mean, it is a massive, you know, toss-up, to be honest. Like I said, I was getting a good amount of money in my previous role. You know, I do more hours now, and it totally depends because it's on a completely different scale. Like, it's more, it's just different. Like, it's just completely different. And I think that's, it's important to talk about, because I just think that the information out there is like, yeah, flipping TikTok, man. It's like, it's so glamorized. It's like my, you know, I don't know. Yeah, here's what's at my at-home desk. And, you know, I get all this work. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I just think that, you know, I think if people ultimately happiness, you know, and contentment is the goal, really. And if you are happy and content, or you're getting there, at least, you know, you're on that path and you feel like you're in a good company, or you love the people that you work with, or your manager, and, you know, you want to keep doing that. Brilliant. Do not, you know, force yourself or stress yourself to, you know, kind of look at these other options of being freelance. That's literally, it has no attraction to you.
I know. Actually, one of my friends actually mentioned this to me, where it was like, what is wrong with just working a 9-to-5? Like, she works 9-to-5 and she's like, I love it. She's literally like, I work from home. I get up in the morning and I go to my work and I shut my laptop and I get my money and I take that money and I create the life I want to create with the money. And I'm like, amen.
Yeah.
I almost feel like the perfect balance, I mean, and it's not always possible depending on your industry. I think for me, the perfect balance would be maybe 2 or 3 days a week working for someone and then having the rest of the week to yourself. I think that would be the perfect balance.
That's what I do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually think that would be the perfect solution.
It's working really well for me because those 2 days a week I'm with the team, I'm, you know, I feel really invested and I feel like they're invested in me and I feel a part of their team, but I'm, you know, working, you know, alongside them almost. And then the other days in the week I can structure that however I want. Like, I need to implement a bit more routine, but it's working great for me. But I only got that job, you know, a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And the way that I got that job, if anyone's interested, is I used my LinkedIn and I put a LinkedIn post out there. And I ended up speaking to someone that I met at an event that I had put on in my previous company like 2 years before. So it's crazy the way things come around. This is why, like, I just think keep peddling, keep doing what you're doing, keep building your personal brand, at, you know, inside of work, outside of work, using things like LinkedIn, creating good relationships with people, keeping all your doors open. And honestly, things will happen at certain times, you know, when they're supposed to happen. It's just the way of life, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And I honestly think that, yeah, things might not happen immediately, but all these things count for something, honestly.
Yeah, they all add up, don't they? That's the thing.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What would you say then, Soph, if you had to like sum it up, like the pros, like say 3 pros, 3 cons to both freelance and full-time work?
Okay, I'd say full-time work, positives are you get your salary every month and you don't have to be concerned about that, and you know generally how much you're getting.
Yeah.
I think the second one for me personally is like the culture and the social kind of aspect of being in an office. I absolutely loved it. I think just kind of knowing what you're turning up to do every day, but also knowing, you know, what opportunities are there for you, like, you know, working towards that next level of being a manager or whatever it might be. Yeah. You kind of understand what that is within a workplace. I'd say freelance, negatives, I guess. Well, you don't have the flexibility. I think that's probably the biggest one that you do with freelance. Obviously, you're turning up every morning, and if you don't, you know, you're going to get penalized for that or potentially fired or whatever happens.
Yeah, holidays, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, one massive positive. I was paying into my pension and everything every month. Like, it's very difficult when you're freelance.
Yeah, you're not doing that, are you? Yeah.
No, so there's that. But freelance positives, yeah, the big one is the flexibility. I mean, I've never really got to live my life like I can now. Flip side, though, I'm always doing something or thinking of something, and there's so many things to think about. It's so hard to, like, keep on top of everything, and it means I'm on my phone all the time or doing this, or my brain is just all over the place. And it's quite isolating, like we spoke about. It is quite isolating. I think that there's a movement into this kind of, like, having your own business, entrepreneur, freelance situation. So, like, Manchester, there are some great workplaces, and you can meet people, and, you know, I'm part of a club. I actually am a private members club. And sometimes some of us will work together. So there is that option, but it's not the same as being in an office where you get to do, you know, fun things and celebrate different days, or you might, you know, do certain things on Pancake Day or, I don't know, around Easter, or you might do fun, like we used to do loads of sports and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the first time I've had routine, because I'm coming into the radio 5 days a week. I've never had that. And I think, so in a way, although it's not full time, as in it's not 9 to 5, it's 9 to 1, the kind of, like, sentiment's the same. I think there's such a positive about being employed versus freelancers that see the days that you cannot be bothered, like, you're still productive because you have to be. And I do think that, like, when you're freelance, on those days that you can't be bothered, on those really cold January mornings, you really could get nothing done, you know, and not do anything at all, which is fine, but then it just means you're picking up the slack later on. So I do think that that's such a positive, where you're productive by hook or crook, whether you like it or not. And I used to always say, like, there's never a good time to work when you're freelance. I used to say, summer's too hot, winter's too miserable. It's like, you know, when is it you're actually working, Robs? You know, like, that's where it's a positive thing rather than necessarily a negative thing. But of course, like, the freelance, you can kind of shape a day and shape your life the way that you want. And I think that it's becoming way more popular. There's actually a statistic that says that 90% of the large corporations say that freelancers are a meaningful part of their work ecosystem. And actually, companies find the process of hiring a freelancer months quicker and easier. They will still be going to those full-time positions when they're looking for the top talent. So that's something to bear in mind.
It is. I saw something that was about, was it like Disney or something? So many big corporations are hiring a lot more freelancers for work. Now, there's positives and negatives of that.
Yeah, don't even get me started on that one.
I know. I was going to say, because I actually think it was quite a negative video. But
yes, don't even get me started. Because here's another thing, right? They're going to do the freelance thing and they're going to say, this is great because you're flexible and you're that and X, Y, and Z. And 9 times out of 10, from my experience, you're actually not. You're at their mercy just as you would be as an employee. However, you don't get sick pay, you don't get holiday pay, you don't get any of the benefits that come with being an employee. So bear that one in mind as well, that sometimes it can be kind of, you know, almost packaged up as this freelance position. And then they go, yeah, it's freelance, but you're going to do as we say. And then that's actually not freelance, that's an employee.
Yeah, something to bear in mind.
Yes. We'll unpack that another time. No, we won't. We're going to leave that one. We're going to leave that way it is. But thank you so much for listening to The Slips. And hopefully, if you are kind of on that, not really sure, you know, should I move from freelance to full time? I know that that's quite common at the minute. Or going from full time to freelance. Hopefully, we'll give you a little insight into the actual truth behind it all.
Yeah, and feel free to DM us, because we've both got different experiences with stuff. Robin's been, you know, self-employed and freelance for a really long time. I've just started, but I kind of know a little bit about that transition. But yeah, feel free to reach out, because I feel like we love speaking about this stuff, like this nice conversation. I don't know, and I think it's interesting. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. If you want to get involved on our Extra Lippy episode as well, you can do. That's the one where we break it down, give you our advice on any issues, problems, dilemmas. Love that episode.
Yeah, we do. We get into you. We actually put you right in the centre of it, and then we dissect it all around. So yeah, let us know. It's contact@looselipspodcast.com. You want to send those in, and you can of course get us on the Instagram at the Loose Lips Podcast, or our personals, Robin Richford with a Y and Sophie HL Brown. But we will see you on Friday. Did I do the math right?
Yeah, Friday. Friday. No.
Yeah. We'll see you on Friday. Bye guys.
Bye bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.